Blog Talk Radio.
This episode of HR Happy Hour is sponsored by Acquire, a leading provider of workforce planning and analytics.
This episode of HR Happy Hour is sponsored by Acquire as well. Listening to HR through social media and proud sponsor of HR Happy Hour and Voice of HR. And here's your host, Steve Bose.
Hey, welcome. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Mark Stelzner, for that, for the live read, the first ever in the history of the HR Happy Hour, I think.
That's right.
Great. Thanks for that. Welcome, everyone. It's HR Happy Hour. We're back with you at a very special episode. This is episode 69, live from the HR Southwest Conference. We're talking about HR conferences, or we will be shortly. We've got a great group assembled here in this is a classy boardroom, by the way, for folks listening. We're in a major league boardroom, 25, 30-odd seats, nice decorative sort of touches throughout the room, it's really a good setting. I think most of my shows need to be more like this, more upscale, right? Sort of boardroom setting.
Are you saying we have a seat at the table?
In fact, we do. There are multiple folks here with seats at the table.
Lots of empty seats.
So we're excited to be here at HR Southwest. So let's do a couple things on the logistics side. Our call-in number is 646-378-1086. On Twitter, our hashtag is HR Happy Hour. We have a couple of folks in the room helping out to monitor the tweet stream. The great Jason Seiden is with us. He's monitoring the switchboard right now. And let's just go around before we get into it and talk about HR conferences and the whole conference scene. Let's do a quick intro around the room of who's here, starting from my far right, our show announcer, Mark Stelzner, here with Voice of HR. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Glad to be here. Great group assembled. Should be a fun topic today.
Mark, thank you so much. To my immediate right, the great Jason Seiden is with us. Jason, how are you?
I'm great. Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me here. It's a great group we have assembled here today. Should be a great show.
It will be a great show.
And there might be an original thought later.
Not for me.
Let's try to space those out evenly at about 15-minute increments.
Sounds good. I can do that.
To my immediate left, the great China Gorman is here. Welcome, China.
This is my second live HR Happy Hour. I feel honored, and I'm interested to see how we raise the bar from the last one.
Let's not go too far, China.
Original thoughts? Barring? Crazy thoughts.
That's a lot of pressure. It's still morning, I think, where we are. So, China, thanks so much for being here. To China's left, Trish McFarland is with us. Trish, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for coming along.
Anything for any bar raising at the moment.
No, keep your expectations in
My
line
expectations
with
are
the
low.
Expected outcomes.
Low.
Fair enough. Thank you, Trish. Franny Oxford is here. Franny, how are you?
Good. I'm fantastic. Couldn't be happier to be here.
All right. That's great. Lois Melbourne, CEO of Acquire Software, is here. Lois, how are you?
Always happy to be here, and I think this is my fourth live HR Happy Hour.
Amazing.
That might be a new record.
It could be. There are a couple diehards who seem to make the show more often than others. Jason's not even paying attention. For the folks who are listening, all couple of you, Jason's just typing away, he's doing his work, his email, whatever he's up to over there. He's barely participating.
I'm blogging about the show.
You're vlogging about, live vlogging about the show.
Yeah, it's going to go live in just a minute. So we'll have a blog post to discuss.
Awesome.
Here.
That'll be a first, I think, right? I hope you can find like 200 words of content there.
Well, 154 in
count. All right, good. Well, good. And last, Mark Lipscomb is here, who I just met today from Workforce Software. How are you, Mark?
Chris.
Chris. Did I say Mark?
You said Mark.
You know, I got confused. I'm sorry, Chris. Chris from Workforce Software. I got confused because someone else walked in whose name I don't know, and I got confused. So, Chris, welcome to the show.
Yes.
And who do I have at the far end?
I'm Chris Palmer.
I have Chris. Okay. So I've got two Chris's at the end of the table. Chris, nice to meet you. Welcome to the HR Happy Hour.
2,000 people at the conference. I think all 9 tweeters are in the room now.
Are we going to dominate the Twitter stream right from this room?
We're going to pwn it.
All right.
As the Twitter stream goes silent for an hour.
Long list of introductions. Great crew assembled here. I can't see the Twitter stream right now, but I do want to ask anybody who is listening, if there is anyone, let us know how we sound, if we need to gather around the phone a little more. We're all around this one conference room phone here at the center of the table. So
425 area code, we're looking at you. We got just the first caller on the...
Oh, right. call up?
Yeah.
Take control, Jason. Just take control.
Yeah, shoot an email. Shoot us a note. Let us know how we're sounding.
So, our calling number once again, 646-378-1086. You know, I do get criticized occasionally about the show, and one of the things I've heard is that I give out the calling number too quickly. I should say it a little more slowly. So I'm going to try it right now.
Yeah,
the calling number, 646-378-1086. How's that? Jason will take your calls. All right, enough. Wow, that was a long lead up to what's probably going to be an ultimately depressing ending. No comment from the room. So
let's do it.
We are here at the biggest state regional—I don't know the right term anymore—HR regional HR conference in the land, in our great land. It's a huge show. It's a huge event. So I just want to get some general impressions. But we're sitting here in a conference room, about eight of us by ourselves. There's thousands of people out there doing their thing. I'm not sure we're connecting with them very well. Mark, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I wasn't able to attend the opening sessions. I think some of the folks in the room were. But I think we've sequestered ourselves successfully from the remainder of the group, which puts us in a good position to judge them and talk about them with really complete bias and discretion, which I think is really the landmark of this show. So I'm really looking forward to continuing the conversation for the next 53 minutes and hoping we can inaccurately represent what's happening around us.
Fair enough, right, because who's going to know, right?
Right.
That's kind of your saying. We could be in here doing our thing, and we're sort of isolated. Is it by choice, you think? Are we like that, sort of full of ourselves?
I think it's a scheduling problem. And I think, and maybe this is one of the topics for HR conferences, I think there's frankly too much going on. I think people are constantly having to make trade-offs. I think there are too many simultaneous sessions. I think the expo floor is open, but the amount of time that people have to walk through hundreds and hundreds of vendors is somewhat limited. And I think anyone who comes to a significantly sized trade show in today's day and age is having to make tough decisions. And I think this group made a tough decision today, and probably the wrong one.
The group right here in this
room?
Yes,
absolutely.
Oh, clearly that was a bad
move. It was a question of
judgment. That's not debatable.
Terrible judgment.
But I can that's the marketing thing. We can always count on a fair number of the public to have such bad judgment.
But for those who did attend today's session, how's the energy? How's it going? I'm a late arrival.
Franny, you first, and then I want to go to China. Franny, what's your vibe so far? And
I would say
the first half of day one.
Everybody seems pretty up. It's a fairly quiet crew, but the very first presenters, the keynote, was a group that juggled their way into China Gorman's heart, which is really. And actually, they were really great. They were much more on point than most of the other keynote presenters I've seen at things like this, given that they don't have HR backgrounds. And they made everybody laugh and, frankly, scared a lot of people. So that's good.
China, your thoughts? You were here earlier this morning. You attended the keynote. You had some, I thought for a second, the keynote for this to regroup for folks who aren't here or listen back later to the archive, the keynote was a pair of a juggling team called
The
Passing Zone. Thank you, China. Really entertaining, really talented. They were juggling, and as they pointed out, accurately so. Juggling may be at a certain level on sort of the entertainment scale, but it's clearly better than being a mime, right?
Yeah.
Which is the worst. So, but China, they were pretty good. What did you think of the keynote this morning?
I'm sort of known around the conference world and certainly at CHRM as really scratching my head around keynoters that have absolutely no connection to HR, like movie stars and TV stars and that kind of thing. And so, really, I was a victim. I prejudged. I saw jugglers and I said, really? We're starting the biggest state conference in the U.S. with jugglers? They were fabulous. They were funny. They were clever. They were smart. They were great jugglers. And they kept making connections to what they were doing around teamwork and cooperation and building trust back to HR. I thought they were brilliant. And most conferences don't start on a Monday morning by design. And we're here in Fort Worth. And, the Cowboys lost yesterday and the Rangers lost yesterday. They both played at home. So, I think people coming in on Monday morning were kind of dragging in. And I think they were an inspired choice because they really pepped people up, got them involved, and the blood and energy flowing.
Is it the kind of thing, you know, a conference like this, a big conference, regional conference, tends to draw lots of repeat customers maybe year after year? Perhaps they want to mix it up one year to the next, so maybe next year they might go a little heavier or a little more weighty in the keynote?
Maybe.
Or they might dance next year.
Yeah.
One step.
Yeah.
Right. That would be pretty cool.
That would be cool.
Is that the circus hierarchy? Like, I'm not familiar
with
it.
I think Cirque du Soleil is a whole lot
higher. Okay.
Yeah.
Trish, you're the HR ringleader. Do you have a comment on the...
very smooth.
The circus.
Nice. Very smooth.
While the jugglers were amazing, what I saw of them, I would kind of lean the other way. I would really prefer, if I'm coming, you know, I'm trying to take my time away from work. This morning I actually had to miss one of the opening sessions at 7 a.m. that I wanted to go to because I had work come up. So I'd better see something a little bit more HR-related personally, because if you're taking your time away from your job, I'd just like to spend time with that.
Trish, thanks for that. I won't share with the group, the wider group, what you were, you know, your work obligation this morning. But we'll just leave it at that. So, hey, HR Happy Hour, live at HR Southwest. Jason Seiden is with us, still diligently live vlogging the show, which I hope is more interesting than the show has been so far.
But what's going live right now?
We will see. Jason, you're a little bit outside the mainstream HR world. What's your take on this big HR extravaganza we've been seeing so far this morning?
You know, it's interesting. I'm not a, personally, me, I'm not an extravaganza guy. I am more of a dial into the people you need to find to do business with. Find them and then do your business and then move on to the next people. So it's interesting to me. I haven't been here long enough to figure out where those conversations are happening. There's clearly happening, but you know, as any conference, there's also a lot of noise. There's a lot of bingo. There's, you know, the prizes are being announced overhead, and so far I have found, you know, I'm still kind of sifting through that noise and to find out what's going on. You know, we'll see. We'll see at the end of the conference if I'm able to parse through that and figure out where the pockets of influence are.
Fair enough. Let's do a quick reset. This is HR Happy Hour live from HR Southwest. Just an amazing panel of superstars that are surrounding me with all, as China mentioned earlier, we're all sitting at the table, some of us closer than others, to the table. Our call-in number, slowly, 646-378-1086. Our hashtag is HR Happy Hour. The hashtag for the show, for people who want to follow along what we're up to at the show, and it has been pointed out to me, and I think this is true, that the hashtag for the event, which is HRSWC10, is being dominated by most of the people in this room, right? That's what we've learned as well. So it's interesting for those of us who were at HR Florida, you know, a few weeks ago, which were many of the same people in this room, that the vibe at HR Florida seemed a little more dialed in to the Twitter stream, to blogging, to the VOHR stuff as well. So we'll see how it goes. It's still early. We've only been here a couple of hours. So Lois, you had a comment about that or something else?
Well, I think that that's part of why Voice of HR is here as well, because part of the mission for Voice of HR's booth is to get people in this community more plugged into the social media. And just this morning, talking to people, there's a lot of people not understanding Twitter, not using it, not using Facebook, barely using LinkedIn. So, you know, hopefully this will add people to that community. You know, it is the Midwest. It's the Southern Midwest. I live here. It's, you know, there's the haves and the have-nots when it comes to social media and getting involved in that. So hopefully this show will help ramp it up. But I think Franny mentioned that there weren't any sessions or very few sessions at this conference about social media.
Right. I just did a quick count, and there's four. So there's three presented by some variation of the people in this room, plus Jessica Miller-Merrill.
Miller-Miller.
And then there's one tomorrow, you know, the typical lawyer, what are they doing in their off-time kind of conversation. I don't think that it's easy to involve people in social media unless they want to get involved. They have to have a personal want to. And I love that we're doing these things, and I love that we're having these booths and, you know, trying to do this kind of promotion. I don't think it's going to make that much more of a difference, except for by connecting people like Chris down here to the rest, to the people who are already doing it. I think we really have to. What's missing is helping people get to the individual want to. And I still don't have any good answers about how to get them to the individual want to. So, yeah. Chris, actually, do you want to come over here and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure.
Or?
Everybody can hear me.
Yeah.
So what do you want to know?
So just introduce yourself
okay.
and tell us a little bit about how you started. You just recently started blogging, right?
Yes.
Chris blogs at Extreme HR,
correct?
Right?
Yeah. So I'm Chris Ponder. By trade, I have a day job as a regional HR manager for 3 regions supporting sometimes crazy employees and branches. So it's an interesting job. Have been on Twitter for quite some time. Just like Critty said, I recently started blogging. I've been putting it off for a better part of a year and a half or so. Just haven't found the time or really the want to, so I said this year was going to be my goal and really get out there and do it. And I've enjoyed it so far. So.
What have you enjoyed about it?
I really enjoy, one, getting your point of view out there, because a lot of people, I think, feel in HR, it's just them struggling with the challenges that they're going through, whereas when you blog, you're able to see other people have the same issues or the same concerns,
right.
Want to challenge the same obstacles everybody's facing every day. And then not to mention, it allows you to build your network up, so you begin to network with other people in the industry, so you begin to learn even more.
Okay, so that was... Would you say that that's one of the main things, like, for instance, you just walk right in here and sat down, which I thought was fantastic. Would you say that's one of the things that it's brought to you is the ability to network with a
Definitely.
Different set of people than
Definitely.
You might find in your hometown? Or
Definitely. Because I can tell you in Memphis, Tennessee, there's not a whole lot going on in terms of the Twitter sphere or blogging or anything like that. You have a couple people that are on it that have picked it up, but there's not a whole lot of just going on. Okay. Yeah, some questions. Okay.
No. I'm sorry to interrupt. That was radio kind of lingo, Chris, for when you're done, throw it back to me.
Okay. So back to Steve.
Brandy, thanks for that. Chris, thanks for that. Listen, we've had a couple of issues with the live stream, apparently. I think our dubious internet connection here in this room is conspired against us slightly. So here's what I think is happening, and Trish or anyone else can tweet this out. I think our live stream got cut off again, which is fine. I think we're okay recording to the archive. Which is actually better, probably. We can be a little bit more, what's the word? It's more like no one's really listening live, right?
Or just having a conversation.
Yeah, it's more conversational.
Right.
So I don't have to worry as much about the phone number and whatnot. So we're still connected. We've got this great room of people in here. So let's keep going. We'll write this all to the archive, and we'll be able to access it later. We'll try to fix up this internet connection and see if we can restore the live stream if we can. And if not, we'll just carry on as it is, all right? Wow, great. Hey, we've been talking conferences. I want to throw it out to Lois and Chris from Workforce a little bit, just your perspective on what's happening in sort of this conference industry, or as Mark aptly put it, the conference economy, from the vendor perspective. Do you sense changes? Is it more of the same? And are you getting out from these types of events what you need to do to make them valuable for you?
Well, conferences have gotten incredibly expensive. And it is important to choose the right conferences and have the right positioning. And we are really evaluating each and every conference, what is the value, and the message has to be if there's an influencer there or if there's a buyer there. Because in many cases, what you're selling, the buyer isn't at your conference. So the message you have to have in a booth is how can you talk to an HR person that cannot buy what you're selling, but that can influence that decision and have that proper discussion so that you get to the next level instead of just a swag hunt, or as I called it earlier today, adult trick-or-treating in the expo hall. These shows are regional shows, I think, have an odd dynamic too, because just like myself, I'm not a captive person here. After the tweet up tonight, which we have to make sure we talk about.
We will.
After the tweet up tonight, I'll go home and then I'll drive tomorrow morning another, 35, 40 minutes to get here, as opposed to being in the whole mix And that's the case with a lot of attendees here too. They're you know, they're commuter students this week.
They're not
living in the hotel dorm. They're not all quite as engaged. They still got homework to do possibly with their kids when they get home and that kind of thing. So it does create a different dynamic, especially on a Monday morning. You know, how do you get people ramped up? A lot of them have already gotten their kids off to school and et cetera, as opposed to national conferences where almost everybody flies in.
Right.
So it's a little bit different dynamic.
Chris from Workforce, your thoughts on that?
I don't have a whole lot to add compared to what Lois just said.
I disagree with her. Let's get some controversy.
Yeah,
well, okay, so conferences are really reasonable these days.
I want your budget.
Yeah, exactly. Now, realistically, I agree with Lois on that one, and it's harder and harder for people to attend these types of conferences. I was surprised to see so many trick-or-treaters, as she mentioned, down there. And, you know, just hearing some interesting comments down there in the booth. I heard a lady earlier say that she doesn't use social media in work because she was part of risk management for the state of Texas. But she made mention afterwards that she does have teenagers, so she understands social media.
And probably understands risk management to some extent.
Which I thought was interesting because these days, you know, there is still that group of people who thinks that social media is for teenagers, which obviously we in this room understand that it is not. And so that's really what I've seen down there.
Great. Chris, thanks for that. You know, we're sitting around this room, right? And, you know, I think the teenagers, right, is there a chance they're just going to get bored with the whole thing anyway? I mean, I teach a class, right, in Rochester, and, you know,
Where's Rochester?
Rochester, New York, baby.
Is that a city?
Rock City, the Flower City.
I know.
Beautiful up there.
It is beautiful up there.
Once in January, a couple of years ago, about the third week of January, the sun came out.
And I remember it, like, just like it was recently. But, we are at someone passing me a note or taking a note away. Are we okay?
I was just going to say, John Jorgensen said
all right, super. So we think, great, thank you, Trish, for that. John Jorgensen, thank you for that. We think our minor hiccup, hopefully, on the website has been resolved. I think perhaps there could be some confusion if anyone's driving to the HRHappyHour.net site. There is like a widget player in the upper left-hand corner of that site, which has all the archive episodes there. And if you just sort of click the top button of that, it'll play the last episode. The current post on the site, the most recent post, which was actually excellent, I wrote it. Great read. I'm pointing at Jason right now, like he cares. But that post itself contains the widget player to the current episode and the episode we're doing tomorrow. Is that confusing enough?
I think that was sufficiently confusing.
I can make it more confusing.
No, I think we're fine.
All right. Mark, you know, we were, I want to throw it to you, Mark. Recently, you're with Voice of HR. You were at HR Florida exhibiting. You're exhibiting here this week at HR Southwest. You wrote an excellent post about a week or 2 weeks ago called The Conference Economy. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about your thoughts about why you wrote that post and some of the ideas you had in that post.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, it's been a long time since I've tried to put up a booth at a show. And I had conveniently forgotten, you know, it's funny when the money's coming out of your own pocket versus the money coming out of your organization's pocket, I think your sensitivity to cost is extremely high. And what struck me the most and what triggered that post is the guy that we paid to vacuum our little 10-by-16-foot carpet. And the cost for that vacuuming was $56 for the vacuuming. The vacuuming lasted a little under, I think it was like 75 seconds. So if you gross up what this guy basically is charging per hour, it's something like $2,500 an hour. And you start to extrapolate that to the cost of a trash can, the cost of a fishbowl, the cost of a gallon of coffee, which I heard at HR Florida was $75 for a gallon of coffee. At HR Tech, down to $45.
Nice.
So a significant reduction in costs per our friends at Workforce Software.
I'm actually looking to set up a coffee arbitrage.
Yeah, I think there is.
Yeah.
So,
I could play that $30 spread and make some money there.
But I think what we all neglect to account for is the fact that when you start to add up these costs and how these costs are borne, it negatively impacts the entire ecosystem. Everyone pays. Attendees have to pay higher costs. Sponsors have to raise their marketing dollars. and have to recover those lost investment dollars in potentially higher prices for their products and services, which means practitioners and buyers are paying for higher costs, and the whole thing breaks. And even when you crush it, you know, if you look at a show like this or you look at a show like HR Tech or like HR Florida, they're only penetrating maybe 5 to 10% of the addressable market that they serve. So we're always comparing our own success to our prior year's success as opposed to looking at how are we touching the entire market. And this is where virtualization or some hybrid approaches where conferences are starting to say, you know what, if I can't afford to put in the time or money or opportunity cost, frankly, just to come to a live conference, how else can I participate meaningfully? And I think we're starting to see, Sherm did something last year where they offered a recorded archive of all the sessions. We're starting to see a movement toward that. But are we really engaged? And are we really pricing these things appropriately? Because if I'm a marketer working for one of the 40,000 credible HR firms in the U.S. alone today, am I going to spend my precious marketing dollars on this? Or to Jason's point, am I going to narrow cast my messaging to where that audience lives and where I'm guaranteed to find buyers? Because I'll tell you, if I have to stamp another bingo card, I'm going to shoot myself in the head.
Okay.
Like, yeah. I really am.
Yeah, because you are going to have to stamp.
I know.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Yeah.
So,
this was a suicide note right now.
That's
how
much they charge to clean up that.
I know. Yeah.
Awesome. That's got to be more than 2,500 hours.
Yeah, that may take a little bit more back.
That's a biohazard
situation.
That does
also get to Lois's point that many of the buyers of the products and services are not in this, are not downstairs getting their bingo card stamped.
But I think there's a sense of being conspicuously absent. I think in the vendor community there's tremendous pressure to have a presence because the fear, uncertainty, and doubt that will be propagated by your competition, if you're not present.
Right, sure. You're not doing well. You've got
yeah.
the budget. What
What's happening
now?
With the choir? Their booth isn't here this year. You know, you kind of create this sense of, boy, I guess they couldn't afford to do this. You know, when frankly, no one can afford to do this. No one can sustain this type of spend in this market. So, you know, the purpose of the post really is we've got to start looking at alternatives, in my opinion.
Mark, thanks for that. Let's do a quick reset. HR Happy Hour. I think we're back live streaming, quite frankly, all over the world because I'm told the Internet goes to many countries all at one time. I do want to say welcome. Craig Fisher's walked into the room. Craig, how are you?
Thank you, Steve. I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. You've got some recent news you might want to share with our audience.
Recent news. I am, as of today, working with People Report and Black Box Intelligence as their VP of business development, and I'll be over sales and marketing and social and conferences and all kinds of good stuff. So.
Great. Well, congratulations, Craig. FishDogs on Twitter. Everybody
right.
knows you there as well. So great to see you again. Thanks for coming by. Jason alerts me ably that we have a caller who wants to come on board. So let's bring up that caller. I think a Skype call maybe. Hi, you're on the HR Happy Hour.
Hi, Steve. This is Bill Norman.
How are you doing, Bill?
I'm great. Great job. Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you. So, caller, if you do hear us, go ahead and chime in. We'll leave the line open. Brandy, I want to go to you. So we were talking before the show, you and I, just casually. And you said you brought up an interesting statistic from a quick survey of today's program, a statistic I'd like you to share with our audience.
So one of the things I've been interested in is the difference between HR Evolution or any kind of end conference and these more formal conferences is the number of actual practitioners who are presenting. So just today, as there's 50 sessions today, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 are presented by people who look like they could be actual practitioners. So one guy is at an energy company, somebody else is at a university, somebody else is at the School for the Deaf, and the other three I'm not so sure about. Yes, today then. Are you going today? So I'm just curious about how that dynamic works out. Is it that the drive is not there? I know as a generalist, I personally have not been particularly interested in spending a lot of my time and energy working on these things. But at the same time, I do feel like we have a lot to contribute to one another. And then the second piece of that is, I do think there's a lot of value being missed, because, again, I do believe we have a lot to contribute to one another. How do we do that? How do we get involved? And how do we make it attractive for us to be involved?
China, you had a comment on that?
Yeah, so I can speak from the SHRM perspective, and I know it's not just the SHRM perspective. It's anybody who puts on a large conference for HR people that will attract, you know, upwards of more than 1,500 or 2,000 people, and that is, it's a big logistical event, and there are layers and layers of complexity, and the primary driver is the content, right? And the content is generally driven by speakers, so it's the thing you focus on the most and the thing you start working on the earliest. And if you're going to charge, you know, $800, $900, $1,000, $1,500 for a conference experience, it has to be first rate. So number one, your speakers not only have to be content experts like most HR practitioners are, but they have to be good speakers. And conference organizers for conferences this size aren't going to take the risk with the prices that they charge, and we can get to that conversation too, but the prices that they charge for registration for somebody's first shot out as a public speaker. So they're going to ask for, and they all do, ask for proof of performance. So videos of your previous speaking engagements, the smile sheets from previous speaking engagements. So that's layer number one. Layer number two is, because these are so big and so complex, they've got to get the speaker lineup. If you've got 200 concurrent sessions or 500 concurrent sessions, you got to get that lineup set 6, 8, 9 months ahead of time, because the marketers depend on all of that. And so that means you're working on it a year ahead of time. So I don't know an HR person right now who's got the time
or the priority to say, or
even the confidence that they're going to be in place in a year,
right,
or that their organization would be supportive of the in a year of them being gone for a couple of days to speak at a conference. So the whole gets back to Mark's point. Sort of we may be at a breaking point in sort of large in-person conferences. So you wouldn't maybe want your first speaking gig to be in a room full of 300, 400, 500 people. That's pretty daunting if you're not if it's not comfortable for you. And so the process takes so long that it's hard to get practitioners to say, I can with confidence carve that time out and then get their presentation certified by the HR Certification Institute,
right,
you know, and all of those kinds of things. So the focus on bringing really great content delivered by great speakers, I think, is really the first hurdle. And then the size means you have to be doing the planning and get the proposals a year ahead of time. And you know, I don't know about you, but I'm not confident about either the state of the world, the state of any business, or the state of my career in a year to be able to make those kinds of commitments.
Okay.
I'm going to have Jason and then Lois. Go ahead, Jason.
All right, and before I launch on, Alan, if you can hear us, speak up. We've got your line open. We know you're calling in on Skype, so if you've got something to share, go ahead and jump in. We haven't heard anything from you yet, so we may not be hearing you, but we are listening for you. So I wanted to build a little bit off of what China was saying and talk about where I think there's an opportunity for some positive shift in the.
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
We got you.
Hey.
Welcome.
Sorry, everybody. You carry on and then come back. You were in a thought stream.
You know what? I'm happy to take a time out. You've been wanting to jump in for a while. My thoughts can wait, Alan. What do you got for us?
Hi, everybody. I hope you're having a great time down in sunny Texas, and really, really hope that you manage to pull it off in Florida so that you can meet my Yankees eventually, where then Steve and I can share a Genesee beer in support of that. The other thing I noticed you're talking about the conferences and getting content as speakers, and I agree with it. Sorry, the previous speaker, and I'm sorry I missed your name. It's incredibly difficult. I've organized a lot of events in my life to get a real user, you know, to commit in any time far in advance. We're running an event here at the end of November on social recruiting, and in London. And funnily enough, we've got about 10 people that are all practitioners. They're all, you know, senior resourcers, HR people talking about what they've done. We have two or three on the bench, but I know that I need more than that on the bench because sure as heck, even with only 6-7 weeks to go, somebody, one or two, will fall out at the last minute because life has changed. So it is a challenge, but it is about that content. And I think there's been a very interesting debate going on here in the UK this week, started by Andy Hedworth in his blog, Sirona Says, about what should conferences deliver to delegates, what content should be free or not free. And we look at the U.S. where, you know, people like ERE and others have been live streaming for a long time. We're going to do that with our event, and we're going to share as much content as possible because not every delegate can afford to spend £400 or can actually get away from work that day or maybe just doesn't want to come down from Scotland or over from Amsterdam. So I think conferences have got to evolve to take advantage of the various media that we have and the various ways of reaching out to delegates, either live or even post-event. We're looking now at packaging up the entire conference on a DVD, including the presentations linked to and synced to the actual video, and having that available for people afterwards.
So this is Jason, and I think what you're talking about is a great use of some new technology to solve half the problem, which is reaching people who can't afford to make it here. I think part of the challenge that Franny was asking about and that China was talking about is how do you get more of the practitioner voices shared at the conference? And, you know, as somebody who's one of these speakers, I can attest to the fact that that same fear that drives the vendor competition and the bingo cards on the expo floor drives a lot of poor decision making when it comes to speakers. And I'm speaking generally. I haven't seen the roster. I'm not talking about this conference. But I've been through enough of those grinders where it's, you know, show me what you've done before. Where the speaker, you know, show me the smile sheets. Well, I'll tell you, the most impactful presentations are not going to get all five ratings on a smile sheet. They're going to get checkered responses because if you're making an impact, not everyone's happy with you. Not everybody in that room is going to want to change. If you're getting great smile sheets, you're completely inoffensive. So what ends up happening is the larger logistical organizations, you have people in the organization. Their job is to put on the best conference possible. They don't want to get fired, so they go for the inoffensive, the fives, and it creates that same kind of...
So let me just jump in there. It's not they don't want to get fired and they don't want to be inoffensive. They are programming for the top of the bell curve, right? They're programming for the center of the demographic that they're trying to attract.
Top of the bell curve or lowest common denominator?
Well, absolutely. But I'm sorry Franny's not here, but for nonprofit professional associations, the thing that provides the profit for you to go on year over year is the profit from your annual conference. And I don't care what profession you're in, that's the professional association model. And that's why conferences are so important. And Franny was going to ask, so why are the registration fees so high? That's why they're so high, because no professional association that I'm aware of in any functional area charges appropriately for their annual membership dues. Their annual membership dues do not underwrite 100% of the services that they provide. The annual conference profit does that for them.
So I know we're throwing it to Lois. The one point I wanted to add to that piece is I hope this is the start of something. The blog piece that that I just posted, mm-hmm. FailSpectacular.com, about Inglorious HR Bastards is really about what's happening right here. Right? And we've seen this before at HR Tech and some of the other places where you've done the show. There's an opportunity for something, for HR Happy Hour now and for other things like HR Happy Hour to fill that void. And this doesn't have to be a room full of consultants. This can be a room full of practitioners. There's an opportunity here where at a conference you're bringing people together. And in a format like this, in a forum like this, using these technologies, you can now get a shared practitioner voice. You can manage the cost. You can also manage the expectations where nobody has to stand up on stage with a one-to-many broadcast model. So I hope that more people embrace this.
I think one of the big...
Hi, this is Alan Whitford again. I was just going to say I agree with what you were saying about speakers. I think it's a challenge, too, when we look at... let's say HR practitioners or recruitment practitioners, it's not their day job to speak like some of us do. You know, I don't do, because I've done, I don't know, 300 or 400 presentations, I guess. So, and we do run into a risk then of getting up and being too entertaining and going off piece and off message as well. But I was at two conferences in London last week, and in one of them, two of the speakers had terrific ideas and content, except the first half of their presentation was all of the incredibly draggy, boring corporate stuff that their employers, a very, very large global bank for one, had them have to do before they could actually get into the good stuff. And quite honestly, they lost complete share of audience mind by the time the speaker did get to the good stuff. And one of them, she had a great personality, terrific story, and if she'd started at the back and then worked her way forward, we probably would have had a much more, as you said, number of smiley faces on her form. I'm sure she got hammered because of the first half of the presentation. So it's a challenge for a conference organizer to actually know whether or not the person who does have some good content and a great story can actually deliver that story in a engaging manner that will bring the audience along.
Lois, go ahead.
One of the things that we have found is tough is the best stories will go specifically to HR. The best stories that people can learn from are often the mistakes.
Uh-huh.
And the corporate communications and the legal teams will not let them stand up and talk about them. And we had a fantastic customer story that happened during a reorg. And it wasn't, there was a minute amount about what we had done for the customer. We just wanted the story to be told about how these people did this reorg the right way. They got it done quickly. It was pulling off the Band-Aid fast, but it was really well thought out. And the conference organizer loved the pitch that we gave them. And then they went to corporate communications of this client, and they said, there is no way. There's no way you can stand up and talk about how we fired people faster. And it saves the corporation a whole lot of money because then there's those people in the room saying, you fired me faster.
Right.
I want a bigger severance. I'm ticked off. You know, whatever the case might be. Risk mitigation shuts down the good, strong conversations that HR professionals could bring in. If they can't get anything approved. I mean, we see that over and over and over again where the corporate attorneys or corporate communications will not allow the HR professionals to speak because they don't want it to look make them look bad. And I think that's a real challenge.
Go ahead, Franny.
I think one more challenge that y'all may have already discussed but I will bring up again is the HRCI credits. And
we do not, actually.
And they know that the vendors know that we have a captive audience here. Many, 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 I would bet you 70% of the people who are here as attendees are actually repeat customers just coming in to get their credit. That's my guess. Total guess. But so I've run into four people here, two of whom I went to grad school.
Two people have raised their hand.
Yeah. Give my credit. I've run into four people here outside of this community around this table, two of whom I went to grad school with. One's a presenter and vendor, and one is somebody I used to work with. And all four have used the same phrase, same old, same old.
Mm-hmm.
So the complacency level and the kind of like, I'm just here to do this thing, is very high at events like this, at regional HR conferences in general, I think. So to shake it up and to ask people to think about different things or to present or try something new, that's sort of not in the water, I think, in a lot of these cases.
Right.
Yeah. In addition to the legal issues and everything else, I think a lot of times we're assuming a level of, I'm going to say, curiosity or intellectual restlessness, because we have that may or may not be there with the vast majority of people in any profession.
Right, yeah. I don't think that's unique to HR. It could be,
right.
You know, the what convention will we joke? The juggler convention.
Juggler.
We were talking about this morning, right? And how they're probably the same. Oh, bowling ball, machete in the ass again, right?
Yeah.
And even that probably gets tedious.
Right.
Yeah, we had a mime last year, though, actually.
Right.
She was here, so.
You really did have a mime last year?
Oh,
wow.
Oh, really?
Yes, for real.
Oh.
Go ahead, Craig.
So I've got a question. I put on a conference in August, and I found that in trying to recruit speakers, the tendency is to for everyone to say, well, we should get this speaker because they're a speaker. And they're maybe a professional speaker, and everyone knows who this speaker is. But
right.
does that really always make for the best content? And this is sort of what we're talking about.
No.
Absolutely not, right? The best content, well, and some speakers are good, right?
Well, that's great.
And Chris Hoyts and the world are very good.
A pretty show does not mean relevant content.
Right, but he's also a practitioner. Chris
yeah.
Hoyts of the world. Right.
Yeah.
So you need people who actually do it or consult on it.
Right.
But beyond that, I think the best content comes in the form of, like, workshops and case studies, and not, here, I'm here to entertain you. Let's get a bunch of applause going. I mean, when you really learn something, you're walked through a process of something that someone else has done successfully.
Or unsuccessfully.
Or unsuccessfully.
If they can tell
or,
you.
Yeah,
or, the lawyers
you're, or you're given the opportunity to figure out the process that's going to work for you.
Exactly right. So when everybody gets involved, and when it's almost a smaller setting is best, and everyone can sort of share stories within, that's where it works out best.
Let me do a quick reset, and then we'll throw it. Mark, you next? Or,
sure.
All right. This is HR Happy Hour. We're at HR Southwest. We have about 10 or 14 minutes left in the show. Well, it's like 13 minutes.
There you go.
Kind of flying by, isn't it, Jason? This is great how we do this. Fantastic.
What's the, it's like mid-tech.
Yeah,
right.
We're not quite low tech. It's certainly not high tech. It's somewhere in the middle of tech.
Variable tech.
It's like 1988 tech. Something
where's
like
the
that.
Fax machine?
Right.
Our call-in number, 646-378-1086. Our Twitter hashtag, HR Happy Hour. We're talking about conferences. We're talking about speaker selection, the conference economy. Just kicking around. We've talked a lot about what's sort of not working. Maybe we could spin it a little bit to what is working or where are the real opportunities to make things work better for the various constituencies that are involved here, because that's what makes it complicated, right? You have attendees, you have sponsors, you have the organizations themselves, not the venues themselves and the people who work here and own these places. A lot of different people involved. So what can be done to sort of make the experience better more generally, and what's going right? I'll throw this to you, Mark.
Yeah,
it's a hard question. So
it is a hard – thank you for that. One thing I'm finding – China talked earlier about programming and the amount of time spent on programming, but if we compared probably the amount of time spent on programming against the planning, the meals, the logistics, et cetera, I suspect it probably pales in comparison.
Oh, I disagree.
China disagrees. So
for,
I probably –
for a large conference.
For –
Maybe for a small conference it's the same rule, but for a conference of this size.
Well, let me take it to another level. So what I'm seeing that's working best is not only a selection of speakers, but an actual process of reviewing what they're going to talk about to ensure that it's actually engaging content. You know, I compare what Al Gore did actually at last year's Sherm conference. Al Gore spent at least 45 minutes of his hour talking about HR issues. And then he talked about his environmental issues. I was blown away, frankly, by his ability to draw connective tissue to HR. And I think as conference organizers, it behooves us to actually coach our speakers. We want to entice more people to participate from a practitioner standpoint, reach out and grab them and pull them into the process and actually mentor them and make it easy for them to participate, provide them maybe a mentor-protege relationship where a more experienced speaker can pull someone along and create a larger pool that we can pull from. I think those are some of the things that are helping. I think things like internet connectivity. It sounds like the stupidest thing in the world, but HR tech turning on internet connectivity for all fundamentally changed the conference experience for most people. Now, this is a technology conference, so you'd expect that. But at the same time, if we want people to start using some of these new tools, if we want people to start embracing them, then let's make it easy. And I think the conferences that are starting to embrace that are achieving that. And I think from a show floor perspective, Jason and I were talking about this morning, let's not focus so much on giveaways. We focus on the prizes and such, but maybe make the price of entry for a prize that you actually have to have a conversation, that's something more meaningful.
Take this one more level, though. You've got conferences, you've got an economy where everybody's got their hand in the cookie jar.
Sure.
Everyone wants to squeeze every last penny out of this. So turn on internet.
Yeah.
But you're talking about, I mean, that's free money. For an event location like this, right? And you got union shops that are there. Oh, you're talking about a place that in Chicago, union just went through a bruising negotiation that's not done with the McCormick place. So how does a conference do that, considering the environment that we're playing in?
Maybe that's where virtual comes into play. Maybe if attendees are not limited by physical constraints, then connectivity is not an issue, because every single one of us in this profession is connected in some way. So if we remove any physical barrier and every footprint barrier, so if McCormick says we're going to charge you a ridiculous sum to allow connectivity, then let's remove the venue. And I think until we start voting that way with our wallets and with our feet and force them to modify their behaviors, then we're going to continue to pay premiums to support it.
I want you just made me think of something, and especially since we have Trish here and Craig here as well. Craig, you've put on a couple of events, TalentNet Live events in Dallas. Trish, you created HR Evolution. There's another HR Evolution coming up as well. Maybe you guys can comment a little bit about how because there's a lot more events, right, than there ever seems to be before, right? But why is there so many more events? It's because there's a lot of new events, right? The state of Texas or the HR Southwest has had this big event every single year. Florida does as well, Sherm National every single year. But they're not creating new events. They've always been on the calendar. But the reason there's so many more events now is because of all these new events, like Recruit Fest and HR Evolution and TalentNet. Maybe you guys could comment a little bit about your perspectives on the events that you've done and what need they're filling.
Yeah, and what we did when we started TalentNet Live was sort of create a local event that regional people could come to when they don't have the budget to go to an ERE. And that's really where that all came from. It started with a tweet from Mark Sullivan, the exact story. I think there's a lot more of that now. I think there's a lot more regional events that are actually pretty interesting to people on a national level. So this year, instead of just regional people, I got people from all over the country coming in for what we call a regional event. Pretty cool stuff, and I know that's what's going to happen with HR Evolution.
Yeah, I mean, HR Evolution is the same type of thing. It's filling a different niche. So you'll still have the large conferences, and it's not designed to compete with them in any way, but you're still getting practitioners speaking. You're still getting some of the great speakers. I mean, so I understand for a large conference, it may take a year to get a great speaker. You know, we spend 4 months and get all of ours lined up, you know, for a couple hundred people to come in. You can hear the best speakers, you know, for $100. Where else are you going to go and get that type of interaction? And not only that, you're going to actually get to sit there and have a good one-on-one conversation with those speakers. It's not you sitting in a room with 600 other or 700 other people. It's you getting to have a relationship with that individual. And so then you can take that back to your day job, and actually when you have an issue or something where you need to call someone, you've got that connection. So I think that the smaller conferences, and maybe Craig will agree, it's also about networking in a different way. You're actually building real relationships, and these are people you'll in the future collaborate with.
That's right.
It might lead to other business opportunities for you if you're a vendor. So even our vendors that come in have a much different approach as to why they would want to do a smaller conference.
But your financial model is entirely different as well.
Absolutely.
You're not trying to drive an extraordinary, you know, sort of financial flow to fund a large organization's other activities. So I know you need to be profitable, but that's not the point.
Yeah,
right.
I want to address it. There's a couple things that come out, right? Conferences started with a tweet, right? But simply by making the conversations between practitioners transparent and putting them in a marketplace where people could see them, you went from just, you know, a couple people sitting around a table saying, hey, wouldn't it be great if we did something, to an avenue where other people could hook in and say, let's make that happen, right? So Stone Soup becomes much more viable.
Okay.
My experience is there's an unstated fear that hold a lot of people back from doing that, which is there's a lot of ambiguity to an event like this. Is it profitable? Is it a disruptive technology? Is it complementary? And I think, you know, just to be very clear, we're at the cutting edge. This is all new. There are no best practices. There's no roadmap. So for folks who are sitting on the fence wondering what a tweet-up is, how HR Happy Hour is impacting, the only choice you have is to either get in there, mix it up, have that trial and error experience, or wait for someone else to define it, by which time, by the way, it's going to be something else that's going on, and you'll have missed the boat. So, hats off, Craig and Trish, to what you've been able to do. We're watching the evolution in real time. It's very exciting. Here we are broadcasting from HR Southwest. So we're experimenting. We're finding ways to integrate. And the rules haven't been written yet. So if you're listening and you're thinking, well, how do you do this? Just use the technologies. Make your conversations transparent. Start with that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the key is the integration piece, Jason, because I think what we're seeing now, and I think, Craig, you probably are too, the larger conferences are actually trying to figure out how can they bring in these unconference-type components into their bigger events. So we'll see more of that, I would imagine, in the next year or two.
Yeah, and I think that's valuable, right? And I think there's a lot, you know, I think there's a lot the smaller events can learn from sort of helping to participate in HR evolution planning. There's a lot we can learn about putting on an event from people who know how to put on an event.
Sure.
Quite frankly.
That's right.
I mean, and so that balance of the amount of work we spent on sort of organizing the event versus the speakers, because there's that bit of that sort of our gang mentality to these events, because if I put out a tweet that says, hey, anybody want to speak at the next HR Evolution, I'm going to get 30 people saying, yes, I do, and we'll be able to pick and choose the ones we want, the ones that make sense. So unlike, you know, a big event that's really got that big profit motivation to help sustain the membership and all the resources for the entire year, that's a huge deal, right?
Yep.
So so they're not comparable, but I think they could be complementary, right?
But I think what's happening, and I think that the growth of conferences like TalentNet Live and HR Evolution and RecruitFest is there. I think there is, and I see this as really positive for the profession, I think there is a longing for more intimacy, a longing for closer relationships, and I think Twitter has done a great job of bringing people together. Social media has done a great job of doing that. But there is, I mean, we're human, right? And there is this really strong motivation to be connected. And I think what the larger conference organizers are really trying to work hard at is not so much how do we use technology, but how do we create intimacy between the participants and the speakers at a conference that HR Evolution is all about, TalentNet Live is all about, you know. I think there's a wonderful motivation here that's pushing everybody to think about how to do this conference
a
little differently.
And I think the other last point I'll make on that, and we have to wind up the show, is I think at the smaller events like TalentNet and RecruitFest, you don't have that sort of that artificial or real barrier between attendee and speaker.
That's right.
You know, I'm not a witch, right? I'm you, right? That line, right? I mean, that's TalentNet Live, the attendees are the speakers, and vice versa. It's
that's
the
right.
Same people. It's drawing from that same community there, and really that sharing thing. So I knew I'd work in the witch line somehow before the week was over. Hey, we got to wind it down. Man, tonight, HR Southwest, big tweet-up going on, right?
Yeah.
And let's get the location down and the time. It's 5:15, is that correct, Lois? And the location is?
Well, you have to come get a ticket.
You have to come get a ticket. So if you're at HR Southwest, come by the Voice of HR booth, booth number 1213. Get yourself a ticket for the tweet-up tonight, sponsored by Acquire. It's going to be fantastic. We will all be there, I believe. Everyone around this room is nodding. We've got a lot of nodding going on here. So it's going to be a good time tonight at HR Southwest. So please stop by Voice of HR booth and say hi to Lori, who's manning the booth while we're all up here having a laugh. So thanks for that. So tomorrow we'll be live again at 1:30 Central Time, 2:30 Eastern Time, with another big show from HR Southwest. A lot of the same characters and maybe some new and different ones as well. The jugglers are still in town.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and get that as well. So 1:30 Central, 2:30 Eastern, here in the same location here in the boardroom. Thanks real quick to China Gorman, Trish McFarland, Franny Oxford, Lois Melbourne, Chris Lipscomb, I said it wrong twice, but I got your first name right, Chris Ponder, Craig Fisher, Mark Stelzer, and
thanks to you, Steve Bose.
Hey, thanks me as well. Fantastic.
Thanks,
so that is it from the HR Happy Hour today. Let's enjoy the rest of the conference, everyone, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of HR Happy Hour, sponsored by Acquire, a leading provider of workforce planning and analytics solutions and enthusiastic proponent of free stuff. Go to aquire.com/downloads for free software trials, free webinars, free podcasts, free case studies, and more. Did we mention it's all free? Acquire.com/downloads. Who doesn't like freebies?